Well, good morning, St. Michael's. For those of you whom I've not had the joy of meeting yet, my name is Kate Schneider, and I have the pleasure of serving as your seminarian here for the academic year. Thank you. I look forward to meeting each of you as due time and hearing more about what makes St. Michael's your church home. Whether it has been your home for years or a respite for today, I hope that you have found the love and hominess that I have felt here already. Our gospel reading for today comes at the end of a string of several parables told by Jesus, after which each one, somebody is trying to catch him in a trick question. When the Pharisees and Herodians meet Jesus today, I imagine he's got to be thinking something like, this again? But Jesus, with quick wit and grace, meets their question with a response that has become a catchphrase of sorts in our modern times. Give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's. These words that are often used in relation to the separation of church and state are just pay your taxes. But in reality, our modern understanding of church and state is just as flawed as the Pharisees and Herodians' understanding in the first century, and I don't really think Jesus was speaking to either in either time. To better understand the particular rock and hard place which Jesus has found himself wedged between today, we can take a step back and really understand who he is talking to, what this question even means in a historical context. So first, we have the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees often get a really bad rep for being legalistic, the biblical lawyers of their time, but in reality, they were just like clergy. Religious authorities who were invested in worshiping God through the careful practice of mitzvot, commandments handed to Moses and the Jewish people from God, God's self. And secondly, we have the Herodians, who were supporters of the Roman-appointed leader of Jerusalem at the time, whose name, as you might have guessed, was Herod. Herod, Herodians, and so these political leaders were often at odds with the Pharisees. And yet, they worked together here with the common goal of entrapping Jesus. And then third, we have the matter of the coin itself, this material thing that would have been used to pay taxes to the Roman government. This coin which holds the emblazoned image, an icon, of Caesar the emperor. An icon that would have been considered against religious law for the Jewish people. And interestingly, above the image itself is inscribed, Tiberius Caesar Augustus, son of the divine Augustus. Now, this coin would have been considered blasphemy on so many different levels. And so understanding who we have here, we understand that really neither one of these entities, neither one of these groups, or even the material image can hold that much moral value on its own. But it is the act of these opponents coming together, politicians and clergy, to conspire against the one thing they can all agree on. This Jesus guy is making too many waves and trying to change the status quo in a way that they don't like. And that's what makes this story distinct. We have these religious authorities just waiting for Jesus to step out of line to say something blasphemous so they can cut his street cred amongst his Jewish followers. These political operatives who are listening in hopes that Jesus will discourage people from paying their taxes so they can charge him with treason. It's all very dramatic. But Jesus takes this rock, this hard place, this coin and flips it all on its head. So allow me some paraphrasing, if you will. "Show me the coin," Jesus says, and he looks at it. Well, whose head is on this? When they answer him, it's the emperor's, it's Caesar's. "Well, then give it back to Caesar," Jesus says. "If it has his face on it, then why would you want it in the first place? Give the things that are Caesar's back to Caesar, and give the things that are God's to God." Those things that are God's. What is God's? You and I, beloved, from the very moment of our creation, sealed and ordained in the act of baptism, you and I belong to God. The Pharisees and Herodians are so concerned with this material thing cast in the likeness of a human. Jesus says, great, let's talk about likeness. Bringing us all the way back to the very beginning, the creation story of Genesis, where God says, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. That's the likeness we are talking about today. Jesus says, give those things in the likeness of Caesar to Caesar, but those things that are like God, you and I, each beautifully created in the image of God, are we giving the things which belong to God back to God? Each Sunday we give our offerings, bread, wine, being, and yes, our financial offerings as well. We give back the goodness that God has bestowed on us in thanksgiving and praise. How much are we giving? Is it just enough so that we can pat ourselves on the back, check that box? Are we really present, fully present, just enough to get those warm, fuzzy Christian feelings that can carry us through the week? Or are we really seeking to give of ourselves? Back in the summer of 2020, you remember the time, after a long pandemic spring pent up in my apartment in the wake of the murder of George Floyd, I, like so many other New Yorkers, found myself called to action in the fight against white supremacy in a renewed way. I was marching in protest against police brutality. I was sitting in vigil with my community, mourning the lives lost at the expense of white supremacy. I was reading the books. I was calling my representatives. I was crying out to God, asking, how can I, as a person of faith, be giving more of myself to build a more equitable world, to build the beloved community, the kingdom of God here on earth? And I asked myself every day, what does it mean to be living out my baptismal promises? To strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being. When I cried out in prayer holding this question, I felt myself grow closer to Christ than I had in a long time. By recentering my firmly held belief that each and every one of us is made in the glorious likeness of God, by recentering my commitment to serve God by serving others, I found that I, myself, was becoming an offering to God in a new and profound way. It was also during this time that I was introduced to the concept of mutual aid, a form of financial giving which prioritizes wealth redistribution through the acts of giving directly to individuals or community-run funds rather than to nonprofits or other institutions. This new-to-me idea of mutual aid also became a core tenet of how I live out my baptismal vows. It has become a part of my portfolio of giving practices. And it really clicked for me when I heard somebody talking about wealth redistribution by saying, you should be digging for an amount that is uncomfortable. Not an amount which makes you unable to pay your bills, but also not an amount that you don't have to think twice about. That really struck me. To think twice about. It has drastically changed the ways in which I participate in financial giving. And it also made me wonder, what if that applied to the way we give our time, give ourselves to God as well? I don't just mean time like showing up on Sunday mornings or volunteering at Saturday Kitchen, which are great things, which we should all be doing. But I mean time in the way that we personally connect, and the way that we spend time in prayerful communion with Christ, and the ways in which we reflect upon ourselves, upon our baptismal vows. You know, they say that you get back what you put in, right? We've heard this old cliche, and I'm not usually one for cliches, but it really is so true. I found that by recentering these promises which I have made, which were made for me on my part in baptism, which I renew every time we renew our baptismal vows in the church, by recentering this, I felt myself reap the rewards of a relationship with God, feeling God's presence move in my life. Like Moses hearing God say, I have called you by name, knowing that I belong to God, created in the likeness. We find ourselves now in the middle of stewardship season, and over the past few weeks, we have heard wonderful stories from parishioners about what stewardship means to them, what this community means to them. These are stories of people giving of themselves to God and reaping the rewards with a renewed sense of spiritual connectedness and love. And I really love the stewardship theme for this year, gathering to grow. It invites all of us to consider how we gather together, how we gather each individually in our own unique likeness to God, how we grow together in community, spiritual practice, and connection. How we gather with the whole of St. Michael's congregation to give of ourselves as an offering to God by giving to this our prayerful home. And I think it goes both ways, digging deep for that balance of how much to give, an amount that is a good, deep stretch, but does not break us. Because I know that there are some among us this morning who give so generously of our time that we can't pay our bills, so to speak. We don't have the time to give to our families, to ourselves, to our one-on-one relationship with Christ. We're exhausted, we're burnt out. So maybe for some of us, balancing our offering means a little less time saying yes to every committee that comes our way, and a little more time in prayerful communion. I imagine that there are also some of us who probably could give a little more time. Some of us who can't remember the last time we prayed outside of these pews. Some of us yearning deeply for a connection to something bigger than ourselves, but we don't know how to find it. By giving those things which belong to God back to God, there we will find it. By remembering and really living out our baptismal vows, there we will find that which we seek. That connection to the body of Christ, to the love of God, those things that were never really that far from us in reality, but oh, so often in the noise of our world can feel that way. So often we can forget what offering can mean. And so, friends, let us together walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God. Let us bring ourselves as an offering, our full beloved selves made in the image of God, that beautiful likeness of God, to the goodness of God in all that we do. Let us render to God what truly is God's. Amen.